Invite you to turn with me to the book of Zechariah, and tonight we are in Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. You may join me in standing that we would honor the reading of God's word. Zechariah chapter 3. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." Again he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and will clothe you with festal robes." Then I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments, while the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts. And I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. Now listen, Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you. Indeed, they are men who are a symbol. For behold, I am going to bring in my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, on one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbors to sit under his vine and under his fig tree." Lord, we look to you now that your spirit will reveal to us, teach us the meaning of this vision, and that you will encourage us by it as you encouraged Zechariah and you encouraged Israel. And so, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is now vision 4. Remember, all of these visions Zechariah is having in the same night. So this is the fourth vision of that night, and it's a vision of the cleansing of the high priest. And as we read through it, you observed some things. You observed Satan accusing. You observed the grace of God cleansing, and you observed high priestly serving. So as we see those, we're going to make 8 observations about them as we move through Zechariah chapter 3. Observation number 1. Joshua is the high priest. Verse 1. Then he, this is Zechariah's angel, instructing angel, showed me, Zechariah, showed him whom? Joshua, the high priest. Joshua is the high priest. Now, this is factual. And Zechariah was seeing Joshua in his vision, but Joshua was actually the high priest at the time. In the previous book of Haggai, chapter 2, Haggai chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, on the 21st of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who save this temple in its former, who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all of you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts." Back in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 2, Ezra chapter 2, verse 2. These came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua. Well, no, Jeshua is the same as Joshua. Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Realah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Bana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. Ezra chapter 3, verse 2. Then Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, and his brothers, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brothers arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it was written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 7, who came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Rehamah, Nashamani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Misparah, Bigvai, Nehum, Bana, the number of men of the people of Israel. So Joshua, the high priest, is mentioned a number of times. He is here in Zechariah's vision. Now, in Zechariah 3:1, we also, our second observation, observe that Joshua, the high priest, is standing before the angel of the Lord. Standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, standing is the position of a high priest when the high priest is ministering to the Lord. He's praying, he's leading the people in worship, and when the high priest is doing that, he is standing. I've listed a number of verses for you that indicate that. We won't go through them tonight. But Joshua was ministering before the Lord, and here it is before the angel of the Lord, which if you remember in chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, is the Messiah. The angel of the Lord, this is Jesus appearing to Zechariah in his vision. So we see Joshua, the high priest, standing and ministering before the second person of the triune God, Jesus. Zechariah is a servant of the Lord. Zechariah is a man who was involved in the work and ministry of the Lord, including rebuilding the temple, as we've read. So Joshua is not a disobedient man. Nonetheless, observation number 3, at the end of verse 1, Satan is standing at Joshua's right hand to accuse him. Satan's accusations. The word Satan, if you would read it in Hebrew, it would sound like Shatan. Satan appears 27 times in the Old Testament. Not all of those 27 times refer to the fallen angelic being that you know of as Satan. Satan is a common word for adversary in Hebrew. That's what it means. Adversary. So not every reference is a reference to this being of Satan, but in this case, it is a reference to that being. We see Satan in verse 1 standing at Joshua's right hand, and that is the place where an accuser would stand in a court setting, would be at the defendant's right hand. This is review for those who have been through Psalms, but turn with me to Psalm 109, verse 6. It's talking about those who have done David harm, Psalm 109, verse 6, appoint a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. Now, if you remember our study on Psalm 109, that is, and let a Shatan stand at his right hand, an accuser, an adversary, stand at his right hand. The right hand is the place where the accuser stands to make accusation. And in Zechariah 3:1, Satan is standing. He's going to accuse Joshua, the high priest. He's going to accuse Jerusalem, Israel, and the land. But the focus here is on Joshua, the high priest. He's making accusation against Joshua, the high priest. Now, what do we see in this vision that Joshua, the high priest, has done wrong? Answer? Nothing. We don't see where he's done anything wrong. Well, then why is Satan accusing him? We don't see any wrong, and yet Satan is accusing Joshua. Why is that? Because it is the essence of who Satan is. He is the adversary. He is the accuser. Satan can't help but make accusations because that's who he is. Satan cannot not make accusations. He's addicted to it. He's got to do it. And by the way, you should consider, if you are an accusatory type person, whose side are you on? There's a thought. So, Satan is accusing. Remember what he did to Job? Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. He came with the angels before the Lord, and he said, that Job, he's only serving you for what he gets out of it. If you'll take everything away from him, he won't serve you anymore. He won't worship you. Now, Satan was wrong, wasn't he? But he continued to make the accusations. Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Who is Satan accusing night and day before the throne of God? And the answer is the saints, believers. Satan is accusing us. That's what he does. So, he's bringing accusation against Joshua, not because Joshua has done anything wrong, but because Satan is an accuser. It's his character. Observation number 4. The Lord rebukes Satan. Verse 2. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? The Lord rebuked Satan based on the Lord's own character. The Lord is not rebuking Satan because Satan is either correct or incorrect. The Lord doesn't say, "Now, I rebuke you, Satan, because see Joshua over there, he didn't do anything wrong." That's not why the Lord rebukes Satan. The Lord rebukes Satan because the Lord is the Lord. And it is His character to stand for truth and justice and to rebuke the accuser. That is what the Lord does. The Lord rebukes the accuser. That's why we read in Jude, verse 9, Michael, the archangel, saying to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." I wonder where Michael learned that. He learned that because he was observing Zechariah's vision. And he saw that here. The Lord rebuke you. And the Lord rebuked Satan also in verse 2, based on his choice of Jerusalem. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Satan, Jerusalem is mine, the Lord says. You can't have it. Satan, Joshua, the high priest, is mine. You can't have him. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you, Satan, because these things are not yours. You don't get to have them. And the Lord who chose to pluck the brand from the fire rebuked Satan. Now the brand plucked from the fire is Israel. This is Israel being brought out of the captivity in Babylon and returned to the land. It is said in this vision that that is like a brand plucked from the fire. And the Lord has chosen to do that as well. The Lord rebukes Satan because Satan, anytime he seeks to interrupt the Lord's plan, the Lord has the freedom to rebuke Satan. And that's what happens here. And he's rebuking Satan on behalf of Joshua, on behalf of Jerusalem, and on behalf of all of Israel. Now, observation number 5, we see it in verse 3. Joshua was standing before the Lord in filthy garments. Filthy garments, standing before the angel of the Lord, in filthy garments. Now that's not what a godly high priest is supposed to be wearing, is it? But he is, filthy garments. Did Joshua, have some sins. Yes, he did. Did Jerusalem, did Israel have some sins? Yes, they did. Now, that doesn't stop the Lord from rebuking Satan, but it does indicate whether Satan is correct in his accusation or incorrect in his accusation, ultimately for those who are the children of God, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. So let's see what we can learn about that. Verses 4 and 5, observation number 6, the Lord completely cleanses a sinner by his grace. The beginning of verse 4, the Lord authorized and spoke this. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him. The middle of verse 4, the Lord commanded angels to remove the filthy garments, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. And the rest of verse 4 and into verse 5, the Lord clothed Joshua with royal clothing. So the Lord takes all of this filthy clothing, has angels remove it, and replaces the filthy clothing with festal robes. You'll see in verse 5, then I said, that's Zechariah speaking, Zechariah said, let them put a clean turban on his head. Now, Zechariah is adding that into his own vision. Let them put a turban on his head. Why? The high priest's turban, listed some references for you, Exodus 38:36 and Exodus 39:30. There are more. But the high priest's turban had holy to the Lord written on it. So why is Zechariah saying, put the turban on his head? The answer is, Zechariah is making the point, Joshua is holy. He's holy to the Lord. The Lord has removed his filthy garments and given him clean, festal garments, and now the turban on his head that says, holy to the Lord. Joshua, the high priest, belongs to the Lord. He's holy to the Lord. The Lord says of Joshua, the high priest, he's mine. Satan, you can't have him. He's mine. Be gone. Now, you maybe could hypothesize and picture Satan going, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. I saw some things that Joshua did wrong. Don't I have the right to accuse? He's sinned. He's done things wrong. the Lord says, doesn't matter. All that's been removed, he is mine. You can't have him. You've been rebuked, Satan. Just get out of here. So, it's a powerful picture. The Lord has completely cleansed Joshua by his grace. Well, a couple more observations and then we'll bring this to, I hope, an application for us tonight. Observation number 7, verses 6 and 7. Joshua has responsibilities in view of his cleansing. You see in verse 6, the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua. Okay? Joshua, you've been cleansed. Completely cleansed by God's grace. Now what? Joshua, you have some responsibilities. Well, what would that be? The beginning of verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways. Walk in the Lord's ways. Joshua is to do that. What else in verse 7? Perform the Lord's service. If you will perform my service. These are Joshua's responsibilities. Now, when Joshua walks in the Lord's ways and performs the Lord's service, which we see him doing after this in Ezra and Nehemiah. So he does it. What are the results? The end of verse 7. You will govern my house. He would have a governing role in the house of God, in the rebuilt temple. He would be put in charge. You'll also have charge of my courts. He would have prominent responsibility being in charge of the Lord's courts in this rebuilt temple. And he would be given free access. I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. He would have free access to God's presence among angels. So Joshua the high priest could participate in prayer before God in a court of angels in heaven. That's something to think about in reference to your prayer life. Angels are involved and are responsive to prayer. And when you pray, your prayer is moving angels. It's in the midst of angels. You are part of free access in the heavenly court that makes a difference in prayer. So those are the results. Now, observation number 8. Joshua, and apparently in Zechariah's vision, there were others, other humans, also who were before him. So Joshua and others need to know that this, the cleansing of Joshua, is a symbol of the cleansing that Messiah will one day bring to Israel's land. And that is yet a great need tonight. You know, Israel morally is filthy. It is. You say, well, I want to make a visit to the Holy Land and see how beautiful it is. No, you make a visit to the Holy Land to see how biblically significant it is. But you don't really see how beautiful it is because it's tainted by sin everywhere. Everywhere. But Messiah is coming. Messiah is coming. So, Joshua's cleansing is a symbol that Messiah is going to completely cleanse Israel, as he cleansed Joshua. Now, how do we see this? In verse 8, Messiah is the Lord's servant. I am going to bring in my servant. We won't go through the many passages that refer to Messiah as the servant of the Lord. But most well known would be those passages beginning in Isaiah about the 45th chapter and beyond. You see the servant of the Lord, that is Messiah. And here it is Messiah. I'm going to bring in my servant. Messiah is the Lord's branch. Verse 8, my servant, the branch. Branch is also another commonly known title for Messiah in the Old Testament. I've listed some of those passages for you, and in the one in Isaiah 11:1 we'll look at in a few moments. The beginning of verse 9, Messiah is the Lord's stone. Now, I've listed a lot of verses for you here on this, but that's not any shock to anyone here tonight, is it? The Lord's stone. I raise in Zion a stone. The Messiah, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. He is the stone. Behold the stone that I have set before Joshua. And as you look in verse 9, you will see the stone had 7 eyes. All right, come on. That's a weird stone, isn't it? A stone with 7 eyes. But when you see 7 eyes in the scripture, what are you reading about? You're reading about the Holy Spirit. And especially that the Holy Spirit is omniscient, sees and knows everything. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, you see the reference of seven eyes related to the Spirit of God around the throne. In fact, I'll turn there. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And if you remember from when we studied Revelation, I translate that the sevenfold Spirit of God. Now that is exactly what we see in Isaiah chapter 11. And so I invite you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 11 now. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Notice, a branch, Messiah, from the stem of Jesse. Now, the Messiah will have this sevenfold Spirit of the Lord resting on him. Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The sevenfold Holy Spirit resting on the branch who is the Messiah. So the Lord's stone with seven eyes is an omniscient stone and is strengthened and helped by the Holy Spirit himself. Now in Zechariah 3:9, you also see that the stone has an inscription or an engraving on it. There's something engraved on the stone. And we're not told what it is that's engraved there. But I think the turban that Zechariah said to put on Joshua's head, the turban that said, "Holy to the Lord," gives us a clue of what may have been written and engraved on that stone. What would it be? It would be cleansed. Or maybe mine. This is the Lord saying of Messiah, and through Messiah, the future nation of godly Israel, cleansed. Mine. You do know to this day, the battles that rage around the world are still battles over the land of Israel. They still are. But Messiah is coming, and when Messiah puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, it is his. It's his. It's cleansed. There is no more corruption during the Messianic Kingdom. It's cleansed. Verse 9 says it this way, Messiah will remove the iniquity of the land in what? One day. One day. In that one day, no more iniquity in the land of Israel. And, verse 10, Messiah in that day will cause the blessing of the land to be shared in the fellowship of everyone in the land. You'll say to your neighbor and invite him to sit under your vine and under your fig tree. All of these things will be shared in the land. Is Satan still accusing? Is Satan still accusing Israel? Is Satan going to win? Nope. There is a beautiful and promised future for Israel under Jesus the Messiah, that is a future without rampant iniquity in the land. It is a future of worship. It is a future where the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. By the way, the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea, that is not a figure of speech. That is a literal prophecy that will be fulfilled in the kingdom. That is not true today. The glory of the Lord does not cover the earth today as the waters cover the sea. It doesn't. Why? Sin. But in the Messianic kingdom, say, well, how much of the sea is covered by waters? All of it, right? So in the Messianic kingdom, how much of the earth is covered by the glory of the Lord? The answer is all of it. And Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem, and Israel will be cleansed. You see, this fourth vision that Zechariah had is a vision of great hope, of great promise, of great cleansing. And so when Satan, the accuser, comes, you could be like Joshua, you could be like many others. It's written of Martin Luther that one night he was attacked in his sleep by Satan's accusations. And finally, Martin Luther just stood up, waved his Bible in the air, and said, Satan, you're right. And let me tell you 100 more sins that I've committed that you didn't even know about and that you didn't even name. But the blood of Jesus has covered every single one of those sins, and I am forgiven. Satan, get out of here. And that's exactly right. In Revelation 12, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I belong to Jesus, Satan. I don't belong to you. I'm his. You can't have me. Satan, you can't have me. You're not allowed to have me. The Lord rebuke you. And that's what Zechariah's fourth vision is teaching him and teaching us tonight. Heavenly Father, as we pray now, perhaps anyone tonight or someone tonight listening to this message is aware of Satan's accusations, of his attacks against them. And Lord, we have in this vision seen our weaponry at work. The forgiveness of grace whereby we belong to you. We are yours. And so, Lord, any attack, any inroad that the enemy would seek to make or take, we pray, Lord, tonight that you will rebuke him. And Lord, that we will walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of the living God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.